From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andy Richards.
And I'm Aaron Margosis.
And we are back. Welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. Here back again for a second week with Aaron Margosis.
Famed author.
Famous author of Troubleshooting with the Windows Sysinternals Tools from Microsoft Press. Pick it up at a bookstore or online retailer near you.
Follow up book from the bestseller.
Makes yes. a great gift.
Makes a great gift.
Your mom would love it.
For the Windows engineer in your life. So Aaron, you've got some cool tools to show us this week.
Yeah, the reason I'm in town is to work on security baselines and the publishing of the Windows security baselines for Windows Redstone 2, the upcoming, does it have a number
Creators
yet?
Update.
Creators Update,
that's right.
See you.
Redstone 1 was anniversary update.
Yep.
Yes. And Redstone 2 is Creator's Update, yes.
Not to be confused with CU, which is Cumulative Update, which is kind of annoying.
Overloaded acronyms.
That's what we do at Microsoft.
We love them.
Yeah. So what is a security baseline?
So a security baseline, that's a great question. So security baseline is something that we publish to say, this is how we recommend that you configure your well-managed enterprise. Right. So to date, we've been doing it through group policies. So Windows is secure by default, or it's designed to be secure by default, but it's also designed to be configurable, which in some cases allows end users, non-admin end users, to change security settings, particularly around things like Internet Explorer, to make it a lot less secure. An end user can turn off protected mode in the Internet zone, for example.
So our group policy entry is the configuration of registry keys, and is it sometimes ACLs on hard drives? What does it affect a policy?
Ultimately, most of them land in the registry somewhere. Some are in undocumented areas of the registry under HKey local machine security, but others are in readable parts, but standard users can never modify those. And a group policy refresh will reinforce those settings. So the purpose of the baseline is to say, these are settings that we believe every well-managed enterprise should enforce. Okay, and so and it's not just for to control end users, but also, you know, there's a lot of people who do IT admin work who don't necessarily understand every single aspect of Windows security and might see a setting that they think we ought to configure it this way so that these apps work or this user can do their job. And they might misinterpret what the setting is for. And so the baseline says, this is the recommendation. And we also, by the way, try to keep our baselines as much in alignment as possible with external baselines, such as the Center for Internet Security, which publishes Windows benchmarks and a lot of other benchmarks, and also the DISA-STIGS, which the DoD and the intelligence communities, not just in the US, but around the world, use to lock down their systems as well. We try to keep our stuff as much in alignment with them as possible.
So as the years have gone on, Windows has got more and more group policies, which is these editable entries.
Yep.
And then the security baseline makes an assessment on, you know, yes, no, one, two, three, whatever the magic configuration state is.
Yes.
For those, and then that applies, it affects the software through registry keys and other fundamentals.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. Yeah.
So,
The baseline, so there's billions approximately, I should probably say zillions because I don't know the exact number, but zillions of different settings that are available. We don't have recommendations for every single setting. A lot of them don't matter to security. So we don't say configure every single setting on the box.
Yeah.
And in the last go round with Windows 10, we followed the lead of some of our US government experts that we also work with. And they had decided what we need to do is, you know, we've got this baseline that's just becoming mammoth. Every single Windows release, we're adding more and more settings. And some of them sort of mitigated problems that existed 10, 15 years ago. And some of them don't really address real security. I mean, we've reassessed how we think of security compared to the way we thought about it 15 years ago. So there were a lot of settings that really didn't matter. And so we reassessed what should be in the baseline and removed tons and tons of stuff.
So it was more like a behavioral preference you know, do I see a picture or nothing on the lock screen?
Right.
That's got nothing to do with security.
Allow users to change their desktop background. Like, that's not really a security thing.
So that was never actually in the baseline, but there were settings that were just enforcing the default. So what we decided to do is the only time we're going to put a setting in there to enforce a default is if it's an important default and we think there's a reason where someone is going to come along and change it.
Yeah, so it's like a delta plus... Delta only plus really important things that you just should get correct as a fact.
Yeah.
And how long have, how many releases have we been doing the security baseline?
We've been doing security baselines since, I think possibly going back to NT4 or Windows 2000.
Okay.
But it became a rigorous thing, and especially the collaboration with the external stakeholders like the US government. Around XP or definitely 2003. So the NSA actually used to publish their own guidelines for here's how you secure Windows. And some of their settings caused massive problems because they don't have the testing organization. They have a lot of smart people, but they didn't have the testing organization. They missed some things that caused a lot of trouble, and some of which actually reduced security accidentally. Mm. And so When that was discovered, Microsoft and US government decided, okay, let's
get together
and work on these. And so with their collaboration, we developed a baseline for Windows Server 2003.
Okay.
And if you went to the NSA site and said, how do I configure Windows Server 2003, they would point you to the Microsoft guidance. So they didn't even publish a baseline after that.
Gotcha.
And so we've been working with them ever since.
I got
involved in it back in the Vista timeframe, I think, and have become highly involved over the last few years as Redmond decided not to work as heavily in that space. They're investing in it again, but for a little while there.
Well, they deferred it to the field because you're getting firsthand experience.
That's
in it.
True. That's a very good way of putting it. And so the people in the field working with the customers need it. You know, there's a lot of customers who want this all the time. And so we stepped up and got involved. So, yeah.
Cool. So you've got the anniversary one I can see posted on this security guidance website.
Right. So right now, this is the primary place where we're producing the wisdom, as it were. It's on the TechNet blog, SEC Guide, the security guidance blog. And we also have, we have the baselines, which you can download in a zip file, which includes a bunch of content, including GPO backups, GPO reports, spreadsheets, like this spreadsheet here is the one that comes with it that breaks out for security template. Here's the security template settings. We recommend, let me just show the ones where we're configuring things. These are settings that we recommend configuring. Advanced auditing, Windows firewall settings, computer configuration, user configuration, Internet Explorer configuration. And we also make some tools available. So I guess this wouldn't be a proper defrag tools if there weren't any discussion of tools.
It's going to be a tool, otherwise you can't come.
Yeah, so I brought tools. So
excellent.
Publishing. There's a tool called LGPO, which stands for Local Group Policy Object. So there's lots of tools out there that help you with domain Active Directory domain group policy. And nothing from Microsoft for local group policy until there was a tool called Local GPO, which shipped in the Security Compliance Manager. And that's being replaced by LGPO, which is a single standalone executable.
So group policy from AD will always override local policy.
Yes.
And local policy, is there any one underneath local policy? That's the last one.
And then there's user preferences. You know,
whatever is the last one.
Is configured, yeah. So yeah, if you have a setting that's configured in domain policy and in local policy, the domain policy always overrides. But local policy can be useful in places, for example, where maybe it's never joined to a domain.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a kiosk machine.
Yeah, shared desktop.
Shared desktop. Some organizations, as part of the image build, when they're building the image of Windows, will bake in some policy settings, perhaps the entire baseline, so that if the machine is never joined to a domain, the policies are still in effect.
Yeah, the box experience.
And if it ever leaves a domain, the local policies will take effect at that point also.
Yeah, that's cool. So LGPO, it's almost C3PO somehow. So how do you use it? What's the approach?
So you can use it to, one thing I do with it a lot, so is, let me set this path so I get this version of the tool. This is the latest build. And then go to.
Oh, that's another thing I didn't know. CD is the current CD?
Yeah.
So Aaron is the king of shortcuts. Aaron's the person who taught me clip.
That's right, the clip tool. So CD is an environment variable that shows the current directory. So what I did here is I set the path to the existing path plus the current directory.
I did not know that.
Which actually I didn't want to do because I've got LGPO somewhere else in my path.
You want it on the front, not the back.
So yeah, I think I need to redo that. So shoot.
Just say set path and then cut it off and put it in the clipboard. Set path.
Yeah, but clip. I've already, yeah, okay.
Set. I'll do that. Yeah, no way. It'll be on there twice.
Okay, so.
That's okay.
I was going to say, you go set space path, pipe it to clip, then you would have got the string and clipboard.
Still picking up the wrong one. Oh, well, it'll be good enough. This is the one that's in my path. Oh, wait, no, that's the right one. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. So anyway, what I like to do is, this is where registry.poll lives. Registry.poll is registry-based policy settings, mm-hmm. and it can include firewall and a ton of other
you
stuff.
Name it, yeah.
But it is a binary file. It happens to have a lot of Unicode in it, but you know this is not entirely readable.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can do with LGPO is parse it out into text.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so you can see it's going to set HQ local machine, software Microsoft, blah, 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 this value, this D word, right? And you can also, it'll also report strings. Here's some emit settings. So here's a string here. It just creates a key and doesn't put anything in it.
The existence itself is enough, yeah.
Yeah, so it just creates the key. It's just one of the commands that you can do in a registry.poll. So this text format is then something you can output this to a file, edit the file, and then pass that back into LGPO and tell it, take these edits and make setting, you
make
know,
a poll,
alter
make a
the
poll
settings
file for me.
Based on this. Yeah, you can build a poll file, or you can just apply directly into the local policy. Hmm. So you can just take, let's take an example here. I can just grab this. Quit pad. Take that, and I'll say I want to change that to 0. Save this as a file, and then use LGPO with a -t option. This is called LGPO text. It's just a file format I invented, and so you can use this to set this. So you now have a text editable way of modifying local policy. You can also use it with these other options to take a registry.poll file and use it as input, and mm-hmm. it appends to whatever policy you've already got. You can take an entire group policy backup folder and apply that whole thing with LGPO/G and a path. You can apply a single security template. You can apply advanced auditing settings. You can enable group policy client-side extensions. You can have it reboot automatically after it's done applying the policies.
Because most policies aren't that dynamic.
Some of them,
50-50 maybe.
Yeah, things like user rights assignments that might be global and services that don't restart, they're not going to pick up those changes necessarily. You can create a GPO backup, which is, GPO backups are a little not entirely reliable. So I don't like trying to back up GPO, local GPO, and then reapply it later because there's other changes that you might pick up by accident. And I'm not a huge fan of it, but it was a popular request, so I put it in. And you can build a registry.poll from the LGPO text and then bring it in anywhere you need. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, so you can edit a registry.pull file that way.
So where do you get the LGPO tool from?
Well, it is available on the blog. Let's see, here's the pre-release of the version 2. Also has support in this one for MLGPO, multi-user GPO, local GPO. So you can have settings that I want this user configuration to apply to your account, but nobody else's.
Oh, okay.
Right? So you can have a kiosk, right? And say, I want these user policies that control desktop and things like that to apply to the kiosk account, but nobody else.
But
so
not, like,
someone else logs
account.
On. Right, the admin account, or you know, someone uses the computer for some other purpose.
Right. I mean, technician out.
Extreme example, but you might apply it to a child's account. Extreme example, but
yeah.
The odds of doing LGPO group policy against a child is low, but in theory, it could be a valid approach.
It depends, really, what you think of your employees. So
you can't sack them though. They're kind of.
So right now it's available on the blog, but one of the things I'm working on this week is to go through the bureaucratic processes so that it's available on the download center. Mm-hmm. So working on that this week while I'm here in town.
So there's another tool.
There's another tool
at the top of the blog.
That's right. Policy Analyzer is another tool. This is a GUI tool. Let me hide everything except for
what we're doing.
That. Yeah. So Policy Analyzer is a tool that I've been working on in one form or another for many, many years, and recently got it into a form that was, I thought, usable by the public, right? So it was a little bit difficult to use earlier on, and you basically had to be me or someone I'd spent a lot of time with to get it to work. But what the tool does is allows you to read in group policy backups. It uses group policy backup files as the source material and figures out what are the group policies that are in here, figures out, looking at the ADMX files and security templates and things like that, what names are associated with those settings, and then allows you to compare them against other sets of group policies.
So the backup file has the effect of a group policy. So I changed this registry key, blah, 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 and you have a correlation back to the policy that that leverages that key.
Yes.
And hopefully there's not multi-policies that go to one key.
There are. Yes, there are, and I, in the latest version, I hide a lot of the duplication. So one that comes up a lot is Internet Explorer. Mm-hmm. You've got entire templates, like the medium security template, the high security template for Internet Explorer, and those set a whole pile of settings which are also settable through more granular settings. Mm. And so in the earlier version, it would show like every single policy that might affect this registry value, and it was a little unreadable. So I decided, okay, I'm just going to...
You prioritized it the right way.
Yeah.
So this is almost like a reverse lookup for policies, where you have this policy name that affects this registry key, and this takes the registry key and gets you the policy name.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then it allows you to do comparisons against other sets of group policies. And this is something that I found really useful for a long time. I was working with people who were working on group policies, and they'd make changes and say, here's the latest, and I could compare it, and within seconds say, this is not supposed to be a D word, it's supposed to be a string, right? Something like that, because it would find all these minor little differences. And so, for example, let me just bring up, here's a comparison between the version 1511 baseline and the 1607 baseline. And it loads the ADMXs, and here are all the different settings. Now, it starts out by showing registry locations, but in the lower pane, it'll show you the settings that are associated with it. And in the latest version, you can also add the explanation text if there is any. So here's the explain text for this BitLocker policy. And then you can do a view and say, show me only the differences between these policies.
GPDIF.
GPDIF.
Rather than WinDIF.
GPODIF.
GPODIF.
And so here you see places where it's gray in one column and there's something in the other column. It means this setting is defined in the 1607 baseline and it's not defined at all in the 1511.
And vice versa.
And then you've got the yellows, where if you want to say, show me only conflicts, where it says it's set in both policies and it's set differently in the two.
That's the true diff, as in, oh, sorry, the data diff rather than a emission diff.
And you can take out GPOs. So in 1511, these are all the different GPOs. And we can say, OK, I'm not interested in the IE settings. In fact, I only want to look at BitLocker and compare that BitLocker setting against clear that and just look at the Redstone 1 BitLocker and then show differences. And you see that there were a couple that were in 1511 that were removed from 1607.
Cool.
We took out.
I think
here's the best part. I haven't even got to the best part yet.
Well, I was going to say, I can only guess this has saved you a huge amount of time, I'm guessing.
Massive amounts of time. And then my favorite part is...
I hate to know the hoops you've been jumping through to
export,
do it manually.
Export all data to Excel.
And I think tools like this, I mean, I think what you're talking about, the NSA and Microsoft relationship, which is probably a lack of tooling that made these mistakes, right? They didn't tweak that they had mistakenly done this thing, right? One misclick.
No.
It was deliberate.
It was much bigger. It was not deliberate, but it was the one that led to KB article 885409.
Which
is one that is forever in my heart because
we're gonna have to put that in the show notes
that says that was the one that where we found that if you mess with security settings, like default security in the file system, for example, bad things can happen.
Yeah.
And basically, you go unsupportable. So anyway, here's the group policy in an Excel spreadsheet showing the settings in each of the policies, where you can find it in the group policy path, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I use this all the time.
Yeah. Awesome. So Policy Viewer, that's downloadable from the blog as
policy
well?
Policy Analyzer, yep, it's available on the blog. And that's another one that hopefully will be on the Download Center.
And you can diff it against what's currently applied on the machine as well?
Great question. Yeah, so there are settings here where you can compare against what's in the registry, what's currently in the registry. So you might have a baseline. I'll just clear this. And local policy. So what's in local policy might be overridden by domain policy. Mm-hmm. So this the local policy option will look at what's in the registry.pol files and things like that and compare that against the baseline. Then compare local registry is what is actually on the system.
What's the effective?
For settings that are in documented registry locations. So things like user rights assignments, compare local registry is not going to find that because that's in an undocumented binary file format.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, if I do that real quick, this one hasn't been signed. And you can see the differences.
So you can almost like audit what you are currently running versus some of these baselines and things like that.
Yeah. So here, local policy has these office settings in it. That are in the registry, but they're not in the Windows baseline because Office settings aren't part of the Windows baseline. Mm. Some differences, legal notice text, that's just an artifact of the way it exports, so there's no actual difference there. But yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And of course, you can export that to a spreadsheet as well.
Very, very cool. Well, thank you for coming along. And
thanks again for having me.
It's great to see some security stuff and some security tools particularly to help everybody.
Tools.
Don't forget the Ultimate book.
Yeah, I gotta hype the book.
It's gotta be plugged.
Gotta hype the book.
Because quite frankly, it's the Bible these days. So.
Well, we did if you missed our last episode last week, go back and watch. We talked all about that book.
Yep.
Very good. It's essentially the print version of our show. So very cool. Oh, thanks for coming on, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome stuff. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.